What we are mainly dealing with today is anger in your family tree. Okay? Anger in your family tree. All right. And last week we had an introduction to anger. Well, the first setting of anger in a family in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4. And we're dealing with sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel, okay? I did an in-depth study of this this week, but I'm not going to give you the in-depth study because I'm giving you an overall picture here. Some other time we might go back and do this. But I do want to read the scriptures, chapter 4 of Genesis. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also bought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Okay, and you can continue this week in your devotional time and read that chapter and see what happens. I'm going to jump down to the 16th verse. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Okay, there's a few things I want to point out here. First of all, Cain's name in the Greek means to acquire or get. To acquire or get. That's Cain's, the meaning of his name. And I believe it was Pastor, I think it was Sunday night when he was ministering on when the people in the Bible named their children, their names had meaning. It was either some kind of circumstances they were involved in, or it was about their life or whatever. But each child's name, the meaning was really important. It's not like now we want to know how it sounds. We go for sounds now instead of meaning. And sometimes we don't even know what the name means that we have chosen for our child. Okay, so we have changed a little in that area. Abel means breath or vanity. Breath or vanity. There has been so much discussion around the offerings of Cain and Abel, and why one was accepted and why the other was rejected. And sometime I would like to do an in-depth study of this because it's very interesting. Oh, did you? Okay. But it's just so interesting. If you were in Bobby's Covenant series, she did some of this. Okay. I want you to notice that the two sacrifices that the brothers gave, neither one of these sacrifices were made for sin. Okay? Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, whereas Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and fat thereof. Also, the firstlings is from the Hebrew word meaning firstborn. So he brought the first of his crop or the first of his flock. This indicates Abel desired to give his best and his finest choice of his possessions. Cain gave out of formalism. It was time and custom to give, whereas Abel gave the best. His was pure worship. His offering sacrifice was pure worship. Okay, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. The reader of their hearts knew their spiritual standing. God knew the spiritual standing of the brothers there. And it's confirmed in Hebrews 11:4. And let's turn to Hebrews 11:4 and see what that says. You want to turn with me here? Hebrews 11:4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Okay? The commentary says regarding this verse, it was not the offering necessarily that made one acceptable and the other unacceptable, since God accepted both grain and animal offerings according to their purposes. But it was the character of the person that made one offering acceptable and the other not. In Hebrews, it is witnessed that Abel offered by faith. His offering was given by faith. Obviously, Cain did not. Genesis records that even before the rejection of his offering, Cain's heart was not right with God. Genesis 4:7. Okay? Then it goes on and it says, verses 6 through 8, I'm going to comment to, I'm jumping down to, God has approached Cain in love and has asked him to see the relationship between his present state of anger and the depression and to reverse this trend by his proper conduct. It says, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. If Cain does not respond correctly by doing what God wanted him to do ethically, sin is like a lion waiting for the opportunity to devour Cain. But God gives Cain the promise of victory in this statement, "And thou shalt rule over him." It is better translated, "You can have mastery over it." Okay? You can have mastery over sin. God gives us that opportunity. But Cain ignores God here in this passage of Scripture. There is no indication of an answer to the seeking and loving Creator's interrogation. One day out in the field, it says, one day out in the field, like all of a sudden. So that tells me that Cain was a slow burner. He got angry, and he kept it inside, and he meditated on it. And the more he thought about it, remember we talked about the slow burners last week, the more he talked about the matter he got. And then it says, and one day he rose up in the field, okay, and slew his brother Abel. Cain's ultimate nature was revealed in the course of time as he became angry with God, depressed, sullen, silent, then bore a hatred for God's people, and ultimately waited for the proper time to murder his righteous brother. That's what happens with anger when you keep it inside. If you don't let it out, if you don't find that right channel, and we're going to be talking about this from week to week, be angry and sin not, how do I arrive there? Okay? Cain kept it all on the inside. The enemy always takes advantage of your secret thoughts. But once you express them, he can no longer use them against you. Okay? Jumping down to verse 16 through 22, it says, "Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." Now notice the Lord did not leave Cain. Cain left the Lord. Why? Because he had this angry spirit in his heart, and he was not going to let go of it. All right? This is true both physically and spiritually. This portrays the direction of the fallen and the unsaved. Into exile, without God, without hope in the world. What a sad commentary. Now Cain left the Lord, left the presence of the Lord, went into a new land. and wanted to start, put his roots down. But God told him that he would never be in a permanent place from then on because of his spirit. And back then, families move once every 2 years, I believe it is now that families move. Before, it was like, you know, you never moved. I mean, you just stayed in the same place. My aunt has lived in her house, I believe it is now, for 44 years. They lived in the same house. And we have moved so many times. I mean, my children went to 22 different schools. You know, it's amazing that they even came out with an education. But on the other hand, it really educated them to what was going on in the world. And I told them that Jimmy Swaggart's son went to 35 different schools, and so, you know, they really shouldn't feel sorry for themselves. But they did get to see the world. We traveled overseas and all around the United States in a motorhome, and God just really blessed us as we were moving in the ministry. But Cain thought if he could go to a new place, he could start over and things would be better. But you know, you take this person with you. I was talking to a mother whose daughter had gone away. She had graduated from high school and didn't want to go to college, but decided she didn't want to stay home and go out on her own. And she had been gone about 6 months, and I said, well, how is your daughter doing? She says, well, you know, she's in a new place, but she took the same person with her. You know, going to a new place is not going to change the spirit of anger that's inside you. It will go right with you. It may not manifest itself right away because everything is new. My daughter Melinda loves to be new in a church because everybody makes a big fuss over you when you're the new pastor and the pastor's family and they have a party and they welcome you and your family. And when that's all over, she wants to leave. She loves the going away party. And they make a big fuss over you and they give you gifts and they send you away, you know. But the commitment lies in, can I live with these people, you know, and see them day after day when they really get to know who I am and we get to know who they are, are we still going to be able to live together? Okay, so he went to this new land. His son that he named, his firstborn son, was Enoch. And that means consecration or initiation. Consecration or initiation. Symbolizing a new beginning for Cain. And this is just speculation. I'm going to throw this in. We might do a study on this sometime. Cain could have married one of his sisters or a niece or a grandniece since there were no mutant genes as there would be today where we can't do that, okay? And he began to build the city, naming the city after his son Enoch. Okay, but you know what happened to Enoch? Now listen, this will just blow you away. One of Cain's descendants, well, I guess it isn't necessarily Enoch. They said one of his descendants violated God's clear pattern for marriage by marrying two wives. That came out of the line of Cain. Married two wives.
Why was that against God?
Out of Cain's bloodline. Because Cain had gone out of the presence of the Lord. He was not raising his family. He was not raising his family. Now, this is ironic because the spirit of anger went into the bloodline of Cain, okay? And how he came to his descendant came to this conclusion that, well, maybe if I had two wives, it'd take the pressure off. I think something in my mind tells me that would have, that's what they were thinking at the time. But let me clue you. One woman in a home that's angry can be very, very hard to live with. Two women in a home that are angry and jealous of each other is double the trouble. Okay? All right. So it says, a love for the humanities is exhibited early in Cain's descendants. This is not bad in itself, yet this must be a commentary on the pursuits of a man apart from fellowship with God. When you have broken your fellowship with God, and this began when he would not rid himself of the spirit of anger and jealousy, and then he passes it on to his children. Now we're going to have more than one wife, and it brings in more and more problems. He left the presence of God. If you don't deal and learn how to process anger, you too will leave the presence of God, because you cannot be in the presence of God and continue to have that inside of you. Okay. Now, our lives are made up of patterns. The thing that I can illustrate this with is a spider web. Have you ever sat and watched a spider weave the web? And every spider web has a different pattern. It's uniquely different. This is kind of the way our lives are. They have a definite pattern. And you and I come out of family backgrounds that had patterns to them. And I want you to see this as we go through today. One of the patterns that was in your family background, in all of our family backgrounds, is the pattern of anger. Okay? We all had models in our parents, in our grandparents, as what did they do when they got angry? And how did they respond to me when I got angry? Okay? And you began to form this pattern on your own, of your own responses to that subject. Okay, let me just throw some one-liners out to you here of patterns in family anger. And please don't raise your hand or start laughing hysterically and identify your family in these.
Are you speaking about
Michelle?
Yeah, Michelle. I have raised her to express what's on the inside, and people don't necessarily want to hear everything she has to say. Okay, all right. In my family, this is a hypothetical thing. In my family, my brother slammed doors and threw glasses. Is that why I overreact when I hear loud noises? In my family, my mom cried herself to sleep. It was her way of expressing her anger. In my family, my uncle would lock himself in the garage for hours. That's the only way he knew how to handle his angry feelings. In my family, my father went to doctors for years with aches and pains. He never showed his anger. It all went to his stomach. In my family, my sister was always smiling, but always late and accident prone. She said she was never angry. Symptoms of anger. We're going to talk about childhood memories here regarding anger. As you move through your childhood years, you start a master file on anger, okay? And it's your memory bank. And some of us have better memories than others. I have one particular relative that can go back to the early 1900s in an argument. I remember every minute detail. Okay. Some people learn that anger in a family is sin. At the top of the list of major offenses, raising voices is never acceptable in that family. If you want love and approval, you keep it inside. In a repressed atmosphere of anger, you may have learned not only to hide your anger from others, but also hide it from yourself. Okay? That's what we call denial. I'm not angry. I know they have wounded me to my core, but it's okay. I'm not going to get upset. I am not even going to raise my voice. I am not even going to acknowledge to that person that they have even ruffled my feathers. Okay, it's denial. Denial. Okay, anger still exists, but its presence is not acknowledged if you're in denial. Okay? Now, here's a couple of examples of this. I want you to listen to these examples, and I hope you can fit people or yourself into these examples. Okay. Fred, for years, he experienced difficulty swallowing. And it wasn't just when he ate. It happened constantly. He would have great trouble in swallowing to the point where it was embarrassing him in public and was very self-conscious about it. Finally, he came to the conclusion, I must just be constructed different on the inside than everybody else.
Yay.
But that wasn't what was wrong with Fred. Fred discovered that all of his life, he had been swallowing all right, swallowing his anger. I just stuffed it down, and in time, my body began to rebel against this emotional gorging. When you stuff anger down, it's just as deadly to you as being bulimic, being anorexic, because it is an emotional gorging. Anger was not meant to stay on the inside. Do you know anybody like that? Listen to this. Jim expressed the way his family handled anger. I jokingly call my family the war zone. Except it's no joke. Everyone had his array of weapons. They had verbal hand grenades. Okay? They were thrown, and even innocent bystanders were assaulted by the fallout. Screaming and fighting and put-downs were the order of the day. And he goes, perhaps that's why Handel works so well. He's used to living in a war zone. It's like a reflection of my past family. I've grown accustomed to your face. Never punish your children for expressing anger. Well, I don't want them doing that thing over there. You can get off into a private place. You do not have to allow this to happen in the mall at rush hour, okay? If you see your child is getting upset, take them to the bathroom immediately. Let them express their anger. Do not punish them for anger because it is a feeling. And if you punish them, it's a form of rejection. You have to teach them how to express it in a positive way. You do not pick up your shoe and throw it through the bay window if you're ticked with mom. That is not acceptable behavior. But we will deal with that problem. There have been many times, our family, my husband insisted, we never go to bed angry. A couple of times we stayed up all night. But we never go to bed angry because the Bible said, never let the sun set on your wrath. That's Bible. That's not salad. I have sat with my girls, especially in their early teens, when everything is a mountain. Woo! You know? And they didn't necessarily get along with each other during those times. And I couldn't let them go to bed with hatred in their heart. I don't want a Cain and Abel spirit in my home. Okay? And my husband, after a while, he just wears out from words. I know, he says, well, you just finished this up. I've got to get some rest. And we could go hours and hours and hours. And they would be so angry, so angry, so angry. And then finally the tears would begin to come. And then when the tears came, I knew that they were coming to a position where we could negotiate here. And we could work out these things. But if you keep it all on the inside, and if you force your children to keep it on the inside, it will come out in some form. Okay? And at least you can identify, okay, she's angry. Well, now you can identify that with your family members, if you're observant and understand this, you can identify that with their facial expression, with the way they walk. I can tell when my husband drives into the driveway and closes the door, what kind of a mood he's in. Because he whips in the driveway and shuts the door rather briskly if something is wrong. But otherwise, he just kind of pulls in, closes the door, and meanders. I mean, there are things, signals that you can be looking for. And if you're smart, you will learn how to diffuse those signals before it comes to the explosion place. Okay, let me give you some childhood models that you have been through. And I'm just going to throw these questions out, okay? How did your father express anger? How did your mother express anger? How did your sibling express anger? How did your favorite adult express anger? How did the church leaders express anger? How did your friends express anger? How did each of these people respond to you when you expressed anger? Are you beginning to get a correlation to your background now? The role models, the people that helped you were the ones that taught you. Anger is a learned response. You were not born knowing that. You learned it from someone. Okay? Okay? Let's put ourselves in a situation right now. We're all adults here. If you saw one parent do a slow burn for days on end, and some people process anger like that, I will not speak to you until I get over this. And there might be 3 days of no speaking or 4 days of no speaking in the home. Okay, how might you respond today If you saw both parents using the silent treatment with one another and going through one of the children to convey information from one person to the other, tell your father I would like him to pass the butter. You are models. Don't laugh. This goes on, okay? And the father, tell your mother to get it herself. You know, what are you saying to your children? When you get angry with someone, don't speak to them. That's what you're saying in that particular situation. Okay? In every family, we designate unknowingly one person to be the angry person. Now listen to this. This will really open some eyes to some family relationships. When I began to study this, I thought, yeah, we did it in our family. Who carries the anger in your family? Often one parent or family member ends up carrying the anger for the rest of the family. He or she becomes the family's designated angry member. Often other members behave in such a way that they trigger the angry person's anger as a means of getting him to express his or her own anger for them. So you know how to tick this person off. So you get them ticked and they explode and you feel better. Want me to run that by you again? You have designated one family member to be the angry person. And you know psychologically, unconsciously psychologically, that if you push that person, you can get them to spew out anger. And you deliberately do it so that you can release the anger in your own self. And you feel much better after they have popped.
You know you're doing
it? No. You don't know you're doing it. This is kind of heavy, but I want you to think about that in your family relationships. Who have you designated as the angry person? Okay, when I read that, I thought, oh my God, it all makes sense to me now. Makes sense to me now. There are some things that we're going to have to do. See, the enemy takes advantage of your lack of knowledge. Once you learn something, you don't usually repeat the same thing again, not generally. Sometimes you might do it out of anger just to get even, and we talked about that last week, but we're not going to go on that today. Have you ever wondered why you react the way you do in anger? If you came from a healthy family, you probably received accurate and adequate information about feeling angry. If you came from a dysfunctional family, you probably didn't get the right information. And some families do not have a healthy emotional climate. They have an unhealthy emotional climate. Some adults had a parent who was the silent sulker. Others had a parent who played the martyr. Yet others had parents who were screamers and ragers. To the child, that was anger in action. No matter what was the style, you saw that's the way your parents handled anger and influenced you how to handle your anger now. Your past shapes your present handling of emotions, not just anger, but emotions. Now I'm going to talk about the anger legacy. The anger legacy. Are your wheels all turning as I'm talking here? Are you relating this to your family situation? Is it answering some questions? Okay. Jim was a typical example of past displays of anger dictating the present. He lived in fear of anger, anyone's anger, but especially that of his wife, Betty. Whenever she became angry at him, Jim withdrew from her in fear and anger. This, in turn, threatened and furthered Betty's anger. Thus, not only was Jim afraid of Betty's feelings, but his own behavior would set them off. She'd get worse when he would withdraw, okay? His behavior in response to Betty was a mirror image of him and his mother. Jim's mother was a combination of intense loving and intense anger. The problem was he never knew which one it was going to be. And his father responded to his mother exactly the way Jim did with Betty. He had learned the interactive pattern well. It's not uncommon in your adult life to put your mother or your father's face upon your spouse. Every family provides their children with a legacy of anger, some healthy and some unhealthy. Okay, and you can kind of just yell one-word answers at me. I'm going to throw a question at you and see what we hear. When you were a child and you disappointed your parents, how did they respond? Most people will say, they were angry with me. When you were a child and you argued with your parents, how did they respond? Most people say, with anger. When you were a child and you went against their advice, how did they respond? With anger. When you were a child and you didn't live up to your parents' expectation, how did they respond? With anger. Where was the healthy correction, empathy, love, encouragement, and support? Many say, I never saw it. I have also asked people questions about their own response to their parents' reactions. When your parents criticized you, how did you feel? Some people say guilty, some people say afraid, some people say sad, many people say angry. When your parents tried to control you, how did you feel? Some people say they made me feel guilty. Some people say I was afraid, but also very angry. Some people say I felt very sad. When your parents told you you should think, how you should think or how you should feel, how did you respond? When your parents made demands on you, how did you feel? When your parents tried to live their lives through you, how did you feel? When your parents told you what they expected from you, how did you feel? The answers are the same: guilty, afraid, sad, and angry. Okay, let's go back now and do a little example, one or two examples about patterns and process of anger. Patterns and process of anger. Listen to this. Jerry sat in an office and described the rage storming inside him the previous day. The young man had been surprised by the intensity of what he felt. He knew it was out of proportion to what transpired between his wife and him. After talking about it for a while, Jerry said, "Well, I guess I was just cut out of the same stone as my dad." With some questioning, he slowly revealed that rarely did his father appear irritated, upset, or angry at home. But once every 3 to 4 months, all of the father's accumulated hurts and frustrations exploded onto the unlikely person who was closest. Jerry learned the pattern very well. One man expressed himself in this way. See if you know anybody like this. "I actually enjoy my anger. Sometimes it's cruel. Hey, but then that's life. You gotta get hurt sometime. I like seeing people squirm when I come uncorked. I guess you could say I'm kind of unregeneratively angry. I like to make trouble. I've got a lot of energy, and this is one way to get rid of it. How did I become like this? Oh, I don't know. I guess I saw it somewhere, and then I discovered it worked. So why should I change?" Patterns. Patterns. I said to myself, what patterns have I woven in my family? What patterns are you weaving right now of anger because your children are going to repeat them when they grow up? There's only one thing that we can do when the spirit of anger is in every family. You need to bind that spirit, and you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you with your responses of anger, that they will generate in a positive way. I was sharing with someone the other day, one of the things I do when I'm angry. And a lot of times we get angry, oh, I'm going to share that to him in a little bit. We get angry at God about certain things that take place in our life. I've been guilty of this. When you finally trace it back to its origin, one of the things I do to express anger, because I don't want to make anyone else a victim of that kind of feeling, because then I hurt someone and I have sinned, I will come down to the church and I will turn on the PA system and lock myself in here, pop a tape in there, and I will begin pacing back and forth, just speaking in tongues as loud as I can speak in tongues, cry as hard as I can cry, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, till I let out all that energy. Now that's a positive way of doing it. I have gotten it all out. I have not prayed out of the will of God, because when you pray in tongues, you do not pray out of the will of God. And I have released it in a positive way. I'm talking to God. I'm sharing my heart with God, and He's sharing His heart with me. And I don't go home with the same feeling, and I've not hurt anyone. I go home ashamed that I had let it build up to that point. You know, I should have known better. But there are times that I become angry with our situation regarding my husband's health. We come to the place where you'll bargain with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll do it my way, Lord, hey, I'm there for you. There are no guarantees when you lay your family on the altar. And then the devil brings into focus maybe another family. You know, you'll say, God, we're serving you. We've committed our lives to you. We don't have another life. And so over here, if they go to church once every 6 months, they think they're doing you a favor. And they don't have these kind of problems. Are you fair? What am I saying? I'm telling God, I am so miffed with you. You might as well tell him. He knows it. I get all that out and I say, God, I'm so sorry. I don't want to feel this way. I know this isn't you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy. If you're an angry person, you have no joy. Maintaining control. This is a very sad one. Jill, a 34-year-old mother, could handle irritation some days, and some days she would just explode all over the place. She would rage at anyone in sight, regardless of their innocence or their guilt. Later, Jill said the reason she was reacting this way is for 24 years of her life, she was not allowed to show anger or irritation with her family or her parents. Any display of this would meet with disapproval. So she repressed it. But she said after she got married, she decided she wasn't going to repress it anymore. She felt that she was going to let it go. But now it was becoming a problem. Stuffing it was a problem, and letting out was a problem. You know, you get caught in between that door, and you die a slow emotional death. That's when you get to the point where I don't feel anything anymore. How many know what I'm talking about? I think we've all been there at times. We've stuffed it, we've let it out, and no matter what we do with it, it's not acceptable. And so then we don't feel anymore, because if I don't feel anymore, I won't hurt anymore. The counselor said to her, how many years have you been expressing your anger, Jill? She said, 10 years. And the counselor says, does that mean you will continue to do this in this way for the next 14 years to make your life balance out? It was somebody slapped her in the stomach. And either way it was working, it wasn't going to balance out. She had nobody ever put it into words like that. Her loss of control showed, now listen to this, her loss of control showed that she was still being controlled by her parents. Fortunately, she had the desire to bring a change about in her life. But many people who think they are free from the pattern of their past are still held captive, as their present response is a reaction rather than a clear choice. Let's talk about defined feelings. Perhaps one of the worst displays of anger in a family is no display at all. In many homes, families appear to be very calm and unified. Parents appear consistently stable and on an even keel. Anger is not expressed except for tight lips, piercing eyes, or extended silence. It is definitely not seen in children because it's not allowed to be seen in children. They are taught two harmful guidelines for their life. You do not feel anger and you do not show anger. These children are being taught a life debilitating pattern of denial, denying those feelings. David Biscott is a psychologist, Christian psychologist, that describes the consequences of pent-up anger. And listen to this. When we hold in feelings, we distort the world around us. We really do not believe what we profess to be true, and so we doubt our judgment. We make villains out of the people we love, and we begin to lose belief in ourselves as well. We become more interested in being right than making peace. Although we hold feelings back to stay in control, doing so makes us feel fragile and at the risk of going out of control. Our anger builds. We struggle to keep from exploding. We take it out on innocent people. We are easily triggered by minor frustrations. There is an illustration in this material that spoke volumes to me as far as the silent, I call anger the silent killer. We all know what a shark is. And I think if we were going to name an animal that depicts anger, shark would come on the list. You know, Jaws. I mean, that kind of goes there. But it's not just as ironic as we think it might be. Listen to this. When they take a shark out of the water, they catch him in a net, and they lift him out of the water. He begins thrashing about violently, trying to strike at whatever has taken him out of his normal habitat. If he's unable to find a victim, he takes his fury out on himself. He opens his jaws, twists himself, and begins to rip chunks of flesh out of his own body. In his frenzy to attack, he misdirects and becomes self-destructive. So do we. Denial leads to repression, and the only outlets left are depression, elevated blood pressure, headaches, anxiety attacks, ulcers. We become our own worst enemy. You don't let it out, then you attack yourself. That's why people get into grotesque body deformation, doing things that will hurt, okay, hurt them physically so they feel the pain. It is an expression of anger that's inside. Tim was honest about his anger. He said, I finally learned to label what I was feeling and let others know when I'm upset. I just feel better when all the cards are out on the table, and I know the reason I do it. I'm reacting against the pattern I saw between my mom and dad. It was classic. Some people know that the model isn't right, so they do just the opposite. But the opposite may not be right either. Mom was one of those caretaker women. Okay, do you know somebody like that? You know, the kind that does everything for you. She used to get so angry at Dad because he was so slow to do things. She'd complain about all the things he didn't do, and then before he could do anything, she would do it. But then she would run around and complain and gripe in an angry voice because she had to do it. The angrier she got, the more energy she had, and she drove us all nuts. Dad would give up and withdraw, and you can imagine how that set her off even more. It was a great vicious circle. There's no way that I want this to be part of my life. Patterns weave themselves. The next thing on the list is guilt and anger. And how am I doing for time? 5 to 12. Okay. Guilt and anger. Guilt is a symptom of anger. Guilt generates anger and perpetuates anger. And anger leads to more guilt. If anger has no place to go, it must turn into something, so it turns into guilt. I would say that women have more problem with this than men. Men do not like to accept guilt. Okay? Now, if you have guilt in your life where that it is an obsession, you are not a happy person. Joy is not in your life. These kind of people reinforce negatives. Many people cannot. And when you are a negative person, it interferes with the joy of other people. So you're not only contaminating yourself, you're contaminating the environment in which you live. Guilty adults have a difficult time directing their feelings toward their bottled up anger. So they react inappropriately. And because the response doesn't even make sense to them, they end up feeling guilty over their reaction. And the cycle repeats itself. Anger held in is often rehearsed in the mind. If you don't let it out, you're thinking about it. You're meditating about what's going on. Past hurts and embarrassments are relived in the imagination with a sense of vengeance and retaliation. And if these angry fantasies continue to reside and are held in, the guilt is fed and grows. The anger and the guilt continue to feed on themselves, and it's difficult to break the cycle. This may shed a little light on yourself. A controlling family member usually feels more out of control than any member in the family. Can I repeat that? A family member who must control usually feels more out of control than any other member in his family. Because he feels out of control of his own feelings. He tries to control how other people feel. If you have a controller in your family tree, that person really wants your love, but the individual probably has tried to get it in a way that has pushed you away. We are working with a person that's not related to us, but involved in a circumstance that involves our family. And really, this person is a controller. And really, the only thing this person wants is love. And the only thing that this person gets from everybody is that they push them away because they try to control everything you're thinking, everything you're doing. But they're doing this because they want love, and they're angry on the inside, and they don't know how to get it. So they try to be in control so they can control everybody. And by doing that, they push the very thing away. Their anger has many forms of expression. They threat, they intimidate, they remind others about how much they do. I'm going to just skim this next part. I'm not going to go into it in depth. I will sometime if it's necessary, but to complete this, I'm not going to do this today. We're going to talk about anger and abuse. If you came from a home that's abusive in any way, you know firsthand about anger. An abusive home has anger as the head of the family. You may have had bruises on the outside that were obvious, but bruises on the inside are not as obvious and much harder and longer to heal. There are five areas of abuse. One is emotional abuse. One is physical abuse. One is sexual abuse. One is religious abuse. And one is intellectual abuse. In Colossians 3:21, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible because it is so good. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them or harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit. Abuse violates your spirit. Parental anger will leave inner and outer bruises on children. Unfortunately, verbal abusers get away with their damaging tactics more than a physical or a sexual abuser will. Their anger includes degrading. Their attacks are vicious, and they are obvious to the damage that they do to their child's self-esteem. Anyone that lives in an abusive environment is going to need the help of someone for complete healing in their life. And sometime we may go into the various areas of abuse, but I'm not going to do that in depth today. I want to share one more thing with you, and then I will be done. A lot of people use guilt to control you. Now remember, I said guilt is a symptom of anger. Perhaps a family member used one of the more subtle forms of anger against you, pouting. If they were displeased with you, they may have been withdrawn and pouted about. Then how did you feel? Probably a bit guilty. Then perhaps you complied with what they wanted you to do. Some parents or siblings use hidden agendas to control their family. It's a sure way to create the conditions for anger. If they make you feel guilty, and you do it because you feel guilty, then you are telling them, that's a proper response to anger. You can use guilt to control me. And they'll do it again, and again, and again, and again. Okay? Hannah is shopping with her 30-year-old son as he looks for a new sports car. And I know everybody has one of these guilt controllers in your family. She never comes straight out with a directive, but instead asks, son, do you really think that you need a sports car at this time in your life? What does her son hear in that question? You don't need it, buddy. How will he feel if he goes ahead and makes the purchase? Guilty. How will he feel if he doesn't? Angry. So he's caught. Perhaps you've been in a situation. But now, you are going to know when that happens. You are going to recognize it. And we don't let people control us with guilt. We minister to that guilt. We minister to that. You can't change your past experience by pretending they didn't happen. But you can change their effect and continued expression in your own life. It's your choice. The next session that we're going to be working on, we're going to be dealing, is how to understand and properly respond to anger. Big lesson. Big lesson. Now, I have a handout for you. We want you to begin to take charge of your life through Christ, not letting people use and abuse you with anger. And there's a little questionnaire here, and I gave you handouts last time. Did anybody do an anger log? I'm not going to review it up here, but did anybody do that log in anger to see how many times you got angry and why you got angry and the intensity of your anger? Did you do that this week? Anybody?
Yeah.
Did you do it, Ed?
No, but
it's a mental note. But if you write it down on paper, you will be so ashamed of yourself. The many times that we go through little things of anger, okay? So please do that because it's going to help you take a better personal inventory on what's going on. Okay, there are questions here, and if you have any checks on here, it's pretty self-explanatory. Okay, so I'm just going to hand it out to you and for you to take with you. And these we want you to do at home, not here. Okay. And then return back to me.